Drum.
2 pints of your finest ale, landlord,
he said, in tones so carefully judged that the barman was astonished to find himself obediently filling the first mug before the echoes had died away. Howell looked up. There was an extremely big man on his right, wearing the outside of several large bulls and more chains than necessary to moor a warship. A face that looked like a building site with hair on it glared down at him.
Bloody hell, he said. It's a bloody loan ornament.
Howell went cold. Cosmopolitan as they were, the people of Moorpork had a breezy, no-nonsense approach to the non-human races, i.e. hit them over the head with a brick and throw them in the river. This did not apply to trolls, naturally, because it's very difficult to be racially prejudiced against creatures 7 feet tall who can bite through walls, at least for very long. But people 3 feet high were absolutely designed to be discriminated against. The giant prodded Howell on the top of his head.
"Where's your fishing rod loan ornament?"
he said. The barman pushed the mugs across the puddled counter.
"Here you are," he said, leering. "One pint and 1/2 pint."
Tom John opened his mouth to speak, but Howell nudged him sharply in the knee. "Put up with it, put up with it. Slip out as soon as possible. It was the only way."
"Where's your little pointy hat, then?"
said the bearded man. The room had gone quiet. This looked like being cabaret time.
"I said, where's your pointy hat, dopey?"
The barman got a grip of the blackthorn stick with nails in it, which lived under the counter just in case, and said,
"I was talking to the lawn ornament here."
The man took the dregs of his own drink and poured them carefully over the silent dwarf's head.
"I ain't drinking here again," he muttered.
When even this failed to have any effect.
"It's bad enough they let monkeys drink here, but pygmies."
Now the silence in the bar took on a whole new intensity in which the sound of a stool being slowly pushed back was like the creak of doom. All eyes swiveled to the other end of the room, where sat the one drinker in the mended drum who came into category C. What Tom John had thought was an old sack hunched over the bar was extending arms and other arms, except they were its legs. A sad, rubbery face turned towards the speaker, its expression as melancholy as the mists of evolution. Its funny lips curled back. There was absolutely nothing funny about its teeth. Said the barman again, his voice frightening even him in that terrible simian silence.
"I don't think you meant that, did you? Not about monkeys, eh? You didn't really, did you?"
"What the hell is that?" hissed Tom John.
"I think it's an orangutan," said Howell. "An ape." "A monkey is a monkey," said the bearded man, at which several of the drum's more percipient customers started to edge for the door. "I mean, so what? But these bloody lawn ornaments."
Howell's fist struck out at groin height. Dwarfs have a reputation as fearsome fighters. Any race of 3-foot-tall people who favour axes and go into battle as into a championship tree-felling competition soon get talked about. But years of wielding a pen instead of a hammer had relieved Howell's punches of some of their stopping power. And it could have been the end of him when the big man yelled and drew his sword if a pair of delicate, leathery hands hadn't instantly jerked the thing from his grip and, with only a small amount of effort, bent it double. An explanation may be needed at this point. The librarian of the Magic Library at Unseen University, the Disc's premier college of wizardry, had been turned into an orangutan some years previously by a magical accident in that accident-prone academy, and since then had strenuously resisted